And welcome back to another episode of the Black Watch Reports. I'm your host, Thorn Rain. With me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Pretty good. You know, it's a weird thing. Like, I've never quite been so 50-50 on watching two different esports at the same time. I legit have my front monitor cut in half, and I have show notes on my left half, and then the esports, the ESPN esports Valorant Invitational on the right half. So I can do both, dude. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing, you know, like where we can kind of just watch both at the same time with all the same people, kind of, and
see.
We got the communities coming together.
You're lucky. Because you can have the notes and the matches going. I can't, because then I would be playing the audio into the podcast, and that wouldn't make for a very good show.
Oh, I have it muted. I'm not like full on listening to it. But
yeah. I was like, man, I should do that. Oh crap, it'll pick up the audio. That won't work. So other than Valorant, you been playing anything interesting?
No. That's about it, really. I haven't played too much. Oh, I've been back into Guitar Hero a little bit here and there. I love picking that game up every so often and playing some new songs that come out and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, not too much lately. I'm like trying to not buy a crap ton of games now that I don't like. I'm not making as much money as I used to be and stuff. And so I'm like, let's just try to be a little bit frugal here. So I haven't bought a game in a month or two. So we're kind of just sticking to Valorant for now. I'm not buying all the super expensive skins. I haven't even touched Overwatch in a while.
I logged out yesterday from playing a couple matches of Valorant and realized, oh man, the Prism set is in the shop. I need to go see how much it is. It's like $65.
$60, yeah. It's not.
I'm like, worth. I want it so bad. From what Ty was telling me, you get double the points back when the game launches. So you'll lose all your skins and everything. But like, if you bought $50 worth of stuff, you'll get $100 worth of coins when the game launches. So like, I'm half tempted. Because the Prism set is so nice. But again, for the second week in a row, this is not a Valorant podcast yet. it's such a fun game. It really is.
If you're not in the beta, confusing the people as they listen. Like, hi, welcome to Blackwatch Report, the premier Valorant podcast. Today we're talking. People are just like, wait, what? When did they completely rebrand? Like, no, I'm just kidding.
Gotta figure out a way to use the Blackwatch Report name for the Valorant show. Right? No, it would be a completely different show if we did anything. Just saying.
Yep.
Let's move us along here. We have a new old Patreon, Shrug, coming back. I kind of figured he was going to have to pull back because this boy just spent a ton of money on a new PC.
Just bought a whole new PC and is officially, yeah.
Yeah, he's completely given up on PS4. He announced his PS4 Overwatch retirement on Twitter.
Did he do a tweet longer?
No, he just did a stream of 12 tweets. So he did it the old school way. Now he's officially 100% PC, which is really cool. But thank you for supporting the show, Shrug. We really do appreciate that. If you want to become a Patreon and help out the show, you can head over to patreon.com/blackwatchreport and sign up over there to be a sponsor for our news, potentially. This week, we're going to give it to Shrug because he came in at the $20 sponsor level. Thank you so much, sir. We got a pretty big episode here coming up pretty soon that we might be trying to figure something out to do for. But let's get down into this news.
Yep, so no scene or community news. I mean, we know that this event happened this last week. We do have some shenanigans afoot with the hero bans for the week. I believe it's Tracer, Echo, and then two others that I don't really care about, like the support. I think it's Brig or something.
It's Brig, Orisa. Brig, Orisa, yeah, Tracer, and then
Tracer, Echo. So the fact that Echo was banned after having a big old thing concerned some people, but I kind of read half of the post that the comment that Jeff Kaplan made on one of the big posts, and I don't know, kind of convinced me. Like, sure, dude. Like, I don't really care. I think that it all comes back to the same thing as I felt like Hero Bands were a bit of a mistake. It's just kind of like a weird, just a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just not the right idea. And they're like, they're making some good calls within it now. But, yeah. It just, it feels weird, man. It just, it, like, I get the idea of not wanting to have Overwatch League screwed up by bringing in a new hero super duper quick and not letting teams equally prepare, but also dropping the hero at a certain point. There's just some weird things. And it's weird that, like, Contenders is, like, not happening, so it's just Open Division is happening, so we can't, like, see Echo at all for the next, like, mm-hmm. 3 weeks or whatever. It's just a weird, time again. There's a lot of weird times lately.
Yeah, I mean, oh, that's right. We don't even get trials. Jeez, we're so far away from actual Contenders.
Australia's matches. Got trials, but it's Australia.
Yep, that's Australia. Fantastic how that works out.
Yep. We could watch Australian trials with players who not even remotely have any chance of making it in, unfortunately. So,
mm-hmm.
Bit unlucky. But on to the actual news, not just me complaining about hero pools for the, 15th time. Episode in a row? Yeah. Clockwork Vendetta, more incredibly uplifting news as per last weekend as well. Clockwork Vendetta has officially closed their doors. Announced that they are disbanding the team. I think a couple players are still going on, but this does mean that you've got Antagon, Helv, Majed, Chalky Milk, Kassar, Asking, Monk Mutta, all free agents now. I think a couple were still there. Monk Mutta was, interestingly enough, the only previous the like OG, I guess, of the first roster that ended up almost hitting the Royal Road, despite, was it like, what was the meme of, like, they were all used team chat, or like in-game voice chat, they just played their own, you know, one trick heroes and they still almost beat every other team.
Yeah,
but I guess this mean Asking might actually retire for the 19th time instead of just
19th back to the 18th. Time final time, maybe.
I wouldn't doubt it, honestly.
And I mean, they kind of cited some of those things, like players that they were just like coaching and working with in the team element, leaving for other games, getting picked up by other teams, having to restart a roster. And this is a team who doesn't have major sponsors. So like the coaches and the staff are doing this all basically for free. So like, I understand. It sucks to see another team leave, but best of luck.
At least people aren't going from getting paid to not getting paid. Yeah, no one was getting paid, and they're going to still be not getting
still
paid.
Still not so
at
getting least paid. None.
Yeah.
A little bit better news coming up on the second one. Garathan has been promoted from the Open Division team. It's kind of like the... it'd be the Academy team for the Angry Titans, the Olympians. So the Angry Titans are calling him up to fill out their flex support spot. So we got a call up. Good news, people. There's still positive roster movements going on right now.
Yep. I don't know why this happened the way it did, but I I just get all the sad news, man. Your favorite team ever, Ricky Tiki Tavi, Nikki Ricky, Nariki Esports, is officially leaving Overwatch as well. Again, another like pretty prominent roster of some pretty popular players. Just outskis now. I can't actually. Let me pull up the roster that is no more. It was Skrippa, Zupe, Cloud, Chubbs, Tech 36, and Hybrid. All free agents again now. I don't think. I can't tell if they were getting like a sponsored team or not. I think they were, because it says professional esports teams in CSGO and League of Legends and have sponsors. You would hope they pay players if you have sponsors. So, guess we'll see.
Yeah, I think that was one of the pulling out of Overwatch, not of like. I don't think they were just an Overwatch team. So
no,
another good news here. I'm on the good news train while Kyle's over there on the broken rails. Uprising Academy, you know, everybody's favorite. Subpar team. I almost said something I shouldn't have said there. Uprising Academy adds support line Doggo and 6 feet. Doggo coming over formerly from Revival. Actually just left Revival literally like 2 days ago. I don't have...
And then 6 feet, I swear he was on T1.
See, Liquipedia has no information on 6 feet, so I'm not 100% sure.
He played in the Mayhem Classic series with the team, and then, yeah, he was on T1 for 2 months, from January to March.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, Uprising Academy getting a little bit of a boost. Wonder if we don't see some of these players potentially getting a two-way tag, considering... Their parent team, the Boston Uprising, currently do not have a full squad. I believe they're still sitting at 7 players. I think they need one more. I believe
Doggo is too young. Doggo's 17 still.
Doggo's...
Unlucky.
It's a shame.
And then... Yeah. So, it's a bit unlucky, but... Yeah, this roster, I do not see them doing well, man. I will just say this right now. Like, they were bad. They always will be bad. Like, I mean, they won't always will be bad. But, like, it's just, like, they, like, Doggo is fine. 6 feet is okay. And
is it enough to turn around the team that was perpetually stuck in trials? Nah.
Not even close.
I don't think
I was so hoping for Rhino to, like, pop off a little bit and be, like, the tank sugar-free.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this whole team is just blowing chunks at this point. So, anywho, that was Kyle's moment of zen of just me being sad at teams leaving, and then the only team that's signing players is the definitive worst contenders or academy team, not even contenders, worst academy team in history.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I think they had one tournament where they did pretty well, and that was when Asking was on the team.
And was that
that was the Beat Invitational.
Were they still like Toronto Esports at that? No, they wouldn't have been Toronto Esports.
I think they were still they were terrible
when they were Toronto Esports. And then that implosion happened. So basically just when the actual Boston like management took
when
over.
They inherited the name, they inherited the curse.
Yeah, the Boston Esports curse. But that's all we've got for the news this week. There wasn't a whole lot going on. So we're going to roll right down into the quick play. We're just going to kind of talk a little bit about the Echo Showdown. Interesting little tournament that was put on. Interesting prize pool. Some pretty cool teams here. So Kyle, why don't you take the first four teams across the top, and then we just want to run down the teams, or how we want to do this?
So, I think we just jump around to teams that we know of here. Like, I don't want to really talk about Nocturnal, because I don't know any of those players, but, like,
true.
Team Keck W is, like, Kabaji, Craggy, KSF, Boger, Yeetle, Aspen, and ML7. Like, that's an interestingly, like, very popular roster of popular people. Also played in EU as well. We're just reading the NA ones, but they also were in EU, and I think they made it to semis and quarters both times, which was super interesting to see.
And then, like, I'm just going to reference them really quick, because we're actually going to talk about them a little bit later on. You got Old Man Strength playing, also going up, coming up through the Open Division. We'll give you their placement in the regular season down there. But kind of an interesting one here is Dogcoin. You got Tyler King, one of those young DPS prodigies, along with Nomi, Hot Date, Angelic, and Ultraviolet. It's a pretty solid team there. There's pretty, you know, decent tier 2 names on there. Former Overwatch League player with Nomi, so not a bad team there.
Yeah, I think OW Esports, I thought, would do pretty well because they have Lastro and Matt Merc on them, but the rest of the players, kind of unheard of. I recognize Chiz on Hurry Uppers because I think they played against Test Team 1.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Test Team 1 was really the one I was expecting to do super duper well here. Big surprise.
Yeah.
Jake, Dante, Clone Man, Harblue, Fran, Kriv, Red Shell.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good roster.
And then you got, like, their counterpart, the God Gamer Gang. You know,
yeah.
Is
the exact opposite of, like, washed up players,
yeah,
casters, and a couple Overwatch League pros.
Yeah, you got Is Your Boy, Rascal, XQC, Super, Avast, Sleepy. Like, this is a stacked team. Like,
yeah.
So you had some really interesting, because it was something like you were allowed two Overwatch League players, two Contenders players, and then the rest of the team had to be Open Division or lower players, I believe is how it worked out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, some of these teams, it was all Open Division players, and then some other teams, you know, they went the way of pulling
in. Yeah, hence why we saw Old Man Strength, and we're seeing Scion Esports and a couple other of those ones. Mm-hmm. Another interesting team to note is Hoggenball. Track, Kuruma, or Kurama? Yeah, Kurama, Cowman, 7-Eleven, Fact Fiction, Carrots, and Liar. That's like almost the current Revival roster.
Mm-hmm.
And they did pretty well. They made it to semifinals. So did Team KekW. Scion Esports did pretty well as well. Let's hop into this bracket, though, because there's a couple interesting things to talk about. So, going down to the very, very bottom, we saw Nocturnal, Old Man Strength, RNG, Six Guns, Hurry Uppers, BBB. I think that's stood for something, right? Yeah, it was just BBB. God Gamer Gang, which is the team with Avast and Sleepy and Super and XQC, Rascal, Izzy Boy, and Dogecoin all eliminated. There were a lot of, I don't know if it's necessarily due to forfeits, but I see a lot of L's and W's on this roster, so maybe we didn't get the initial, like, the official bracket results, just the loss versus win. But it is interesting that God Gamer Gang got eliminated immediately in this 3-0 tournament.
Like,
yeah, 3-0. Like, yes, Hoggenball is a pretty good team of, like, at least one former Overwatch League pro and then, like, a couple of Contenders players or formerly Contenders players.
But you literally have, like, a world champion Overwatch League player in Super. You know, you have
Rascal.
Yeah, and Rascal. And then you have a high-level, you know, support in Sleepy. You've got XQC. Like, he's a good tank, but he's XQC. Mm-hmm. And then, you know,
had Super playing off tank, which was a bit weird.
Oh, that is right. Yeah, they're running
not
a
all
double.
That you would imagine. And they couldn't even really run the, like, an Orisa, the Orisa Ryan or anything like that, like, or a Winston Ryan. Like, they had to, Super was playing a lot of, like, actual off tanks, which is a bit tough. But then moving into quarterfinals, you had Team KekW beating out the Dojo, Scion Esports taken out, Odubs Esports 3-1, Test Team 1 again coming back from the bot, or coming, you know, pretty strong here, taking out Bulldoza, and then Hoggenball took the win against Cat Large Dozer. And then semifinals, Scion Esports 3-1's Team KekW knocking them out, and then Test Team 1 takes out Hoggenball, which I think was probably, that would have been the better finals, I think, considering that Test Team 1 took out Sound Esports with a clean 3-0 in the finals. So the match to watch probably would have been the Test Team 1 versus Hoggenball. It looked pretty close when I watched it. I think there was one match that they played on King's Row where they absolutely rolled them. I want to see if I can find out which one it was. Yeah, it was Test Team 1 versus Hoggenball. They got like a 3-0 on King's Row. It was probably the most one-sided map I've seen since we saw the last Hanamura map last week, was it? Right, with like the full hold and the 1 minute, you know, 10-second cap from time
the,
total.
Yeah, the... why can't I remember the name of the Open Division team that...
Not Open Division. Contenders Korea, right?
Yeah, it was, but it was the team that came out of Open Division.
Oh, and made their run. Top Honor.
Top Honor.
Top Honor, like 0-2, I think. Yeah, so this King's Row in particular, I remember it was like a 4-minute, 10-second time bank or something like that, and then they full held them with just over a tick on first, so...
Jeez.
little one-sided. And then, yeah, I remember I watched Watchpoint Gibraltar, which was pretty good, but that was won by Hagenball. And then Volskaya, I don't think I watched that. And then I did not watch the finals, but I don't think I necessarily needed to. 2-1 on Busan, 3-2 on Gibraltar, 3-1 on Kings Row. Sion is very, like, clearly a decent team. We'll talk about them in a hot minute here when we move on to the next chapter of our episode. But, it doesn't surprise me that this happened. This is a little open division team versus Overwatch League pros, former pros, so on and so forth. Like, that's the way I had expected this to go. I do want to talk a little bit about, like, what we saw, because this is the first time we saw Echo played in a truly competitive manner. Who was getting cloned, you know? Who was... how were these teams playing? What were the comps? A lot of Mercy, it seemed. She plays really well with the Echo. Pretty much always copy the Reinhardt. There's a lot of plays. I watched mostly Dante's perspective of this tournament, and he was playing a lot of Reinhardt clones and getting double and triple shatters. I remember one in particular, he on King's Row first, he like teleported in the air, or not, he flew in the air, copied the Reinhardt, got on the back high ground, just started smashing the two supports who were like on the back high ground playing what they had assumed was a safe position. Shattered them, dropped down, shattered, got a couple more swings, shattered someone else on the ground, and got like two shatters off.
Jeez.
I'm still not convinced that this hero is entirely balanced or even just necessarily fun to play against. It feels weird to me. It feels like power creep, but not like universal power creep. Just like, we're just going to make better and better heroes, and then there's going to be some heroes that are absolutely trashed here, and we're just leaving them go.
Before Echo came out, when you were playing against a team, you knew the team comp. You knew what to expect. You kind of had an idea where, okay, the McCree might set up here to try to do a high noon. You know, the Reinhardt is going to be coming from here to try to shatter. He's going to walk through this. But with Echo, it's like literally just out of nowhere, there's a Reinhardt in your back line with a shatter. Like, it's a bunch of stuff that you really can't plan for. We don't get it in the Overwatch League this weekend because she's banned. But...
yeah,
seeing how she plays in the Overwatch League with the pros is going to be really interesting. Are we going to see whole comps based off of her going in? And then are we going to see counter comps that essentially nullify her, you know, value while being out on the field? Like, because if there's not a good, you know, clone for her to pull off that works with the team or even has a valuable alt, will we see that? I mean, you can always clone the supports and, you know, get value that way, but it's going to be interesting to see it in a little bit higher play than this, you know, kind of thrown together tournament here.
Yeah. Like and you'll get some critique of like, oh my God, well, it's obviously like, it's going to be won by a bunch of pros and stuff. Like, yes. And like, some people are going to get mad because the real tier 2 and tier 3 teams aren't getting the credit that they deserve. But like, at a certain point, like, you just kind of want eyes on players and stuff. And like, just seeing kind of, I like, Kurama is a player that like did really, really well. And like, Dante gave him a shout out, and like, stuff like that is really what we're here for. It's not like teams don't matter at this point. Because they're, first off, so freaking volatile. There's often, like, complete dead links, and you don't know that yet until you had played it out a ton. It's about finding key good players to call up to Academy teams or to Overwatch League teams or whatever. So I'm just getting vision. Like, we mentioned the Breakable Barriers when that came out was huge. Yep. because it just got viewership in. You had, you know, Emong playing, I believe. You had Harblue playing, and you had Avast and Sleepy, and you had the big streamer names playing in your tournaments, and that got viewership and got eyes on other players who were doing well. And that's what you really need. It doesn't really behoove people much to play for, you know, less than 1,000 people on a contender's stream. Like, you're not getting that much notoriety. You're not building up a reputation, not building up a following that way. And so you kind of just have to play this game if you want the scene to survive, or at least make some major, major changes, like do what I think it's CDL or COD League does, where you have to have like a tier 2 tournament at every single home game.
Yep. Like, so. I would love to see that for the Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once we're back to home games. But yeah. you mentioned something in there that's makes this tournament really interesting, because you brought up the streams. This wasn't on YouTube. I mean, it wasn't officially on Twitch either, because there was no like official stream. It was mostly just player perspectives. I think somewhere there was an actual stream for it. But I think
it was YouTube on Overwatch League's YouTube. It was Pixie and Avril casting it, and then Monkey Bubble on Twitch with Kenobi, Thibbledork, Dor, Sumito, and Boop.
Whenever Contenders goes live, whenever Overwatch League goes live, I get a notification. I did not get a notification. I didn't know it was on YouTube. I didn't even go to the YouTube.
Because maybe they specifically set it up just so they didn't do that because they don't want viewers. I don't know, dude. It was weird.
That was like, because I would have gladly watched the Pixie and Avril coverage of it.
Yeah.
That would have been phenomenal. But
that was something we did get, which was interesting, is that Boop came back. We talked with him kind of on his almost out. We just knew he was out of contenders. And I've never heard of Monkey Bubble before in my life, but him and Sumito casting was super interesting. I actually didn't get a chance to watch that because I watched one game that was through, because I always like, if I can see from a player perspective, I will always see from a player perspective every time.
Yeah.
Just because I like listening to the comms. It's I prefer it. But like seeing Boop and Sumito cast together is such an interesting combination. I think Boop actually told us way, way ahead of time when he was planning on doing it.
That he was secretly working with him, and they were, you know, casting just like random things. So,
yeah,
that's definitely
it. Cool. It is good to see him come back and see new casters trying things out, and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, this was an interesting tournament to see. Again, like every time it happens, the scene feels revitalized, even if it's not necessarily like making everything happen. It feels better.
It's like just a little bit of a stronger heartbeat for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Twitter was ablaze with it, like people talking about it. When there's nobody talking about the stuff, it's kind of just, we get into these lulls like we are right now, where we're about to talk about the Open Division playoffs that are coming up this weekend that we cannot watch. Like,
yep.
That's depressing, which will then directly lead into Trials the following weekend, which we cannot watch. Like, we just want to watch Overwatch, man. That's it. But let's talk about this Open Division here. I'm gonna run down this top part real quick. So the playoff teams, it's going to be the top 12 teams from the regular season will advance to the playoffs of Overwatch Open Division and compete against the bottom four of the previous season of Overwatch Contenders Trials. For a total of 16 teams, the number of teams is subject to change, which we will probably see this switch to the bottom three and maybe the top 13 because Atlanta pulled out. So
yep.
We're not 100% sure. I'm just going off of what was stated in the rule book. So the playoffs are going to be this weekend, April 25th through the 26th, starting at 11 and running until... what is that? 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. That's how that's Pacific times. I was like, how do you? Specific. What is military 20? It's 24 is midnight. Eight. Minus four. Midnight minus four is 8 p.m. There's nobody to do that right.
You got there, just though. At
12, was... track 12, but like I don't care, man.
Yeah, and those are
I'm a little tired.
Those are Pacific times, so again, maybe we'll get to see them. I don't know. Right now, nothing is scheduled to be broadcasted. But let's get into these top 12. Kyle, you want to take the top six? I'll grab the bottom six.
Yeah, so the team that we knew about is Scion Esports. Saw them go up against Test Team 1 in the grand finals. Did pretty well. 12-0 in group so far, or the regular season, or whatever we're calling it for Open Division, in the regular scheduled matches. 12-0, doing great so far. Behind them is Old Man Strength at 11-1. This roster has been together for a hot minute. Maryville University, I want to see if I can see who's on the roster, but I can't see because it's no longer the Maryville Saints. Again, it's a different roster.
But yeah, this isn't the Saints roster because they had Maryville Red and Maryville Black last time.
One of those.
This is the actual, because Maryville Saints is not a collegiate team. It is a team that is just sponsored by the college. This is the official collegiate team, the Maryville University team. So,
Then you've got Prestige in fourth at 10-2. Maryville was at 10-2 as well. Golden Gophers as well, 10-2, and Drip at 10-2.
And then also at 10-2, you have Exalt. That is the academy team for Triumph. The Weird Squad, 10-2. Goat Walkers at 10-2. Then you've got Marky's Bagel Shop, 9-3, Coke Gaming at 9-3, and Dark Mode at 9-3. Out of these bottom six, the only one I know anything about or have ever heard of is Exalt. And I believe their last roster had like Carbon, Wavy, Foggy Bear, Kabooms, Wasik, and then the coach
was Psycho Waffle. I kind of slightly know of some of those names a little bit.
Yeah.
So That's about as good as we're going to get.
That's what we've got coming up this weekend. Hopefully, we actually get to watch some of this, even if it's player perspective. Like,
I prefer players' perspective at this point, man. Like, give me something.
Just anything.
If not, though, we might take the week off because, unless we can find, an interview, there's just nothing to cover. Like, we had a tournament to review, a tournament to preview, and we're still at, a half hour long show, so it's a little bit late lately until we get actual contenders back. It's like when it rains, it pours. When it doesn't, it's like a drought, and we're kind of just in this weird drought period where, for a good 3 or 4 weeks, man, it's like, okay, we've got 19 matches to review, 19 matches to preview. We're getting some stream, everything's crazy, and then it's just like, okay, well, open division is doing stuff neat. It's just like this weird time.
You can watch Twitter for scores. Yay.
Yeah.
But when they announced the new schedule, it was cool because we were looking at it and we were like, okay, well, 1 week we can review the contenders matches. And that's during the trials. And then just give the trials, score lines. And then the following week, we can preview the contenders that's coming up. And, it just worked out. But then there was this, large open division gap that we really didn't think of happening. And it's just been, 4 weeks at this point since we've had contenders matches that we could, actually go over. So, just a little depressing. We're 2 weeks out from, getting some contenders matches in here. So hopefully they give us some opener trials matches to watch too.
Yep. Hopefully. I want to go and do some digging to refine that stream schedule and what all will be streamed for the season. It was available at one point. We had it saved on one of our show notes, but we lost it. So we'll try to find out again. I want to see kind of what happens. Partially expect maybe no show next week unless we get a bunch of material. So
unless there's a bunch of news or there's open division that we can watch, or I can get one of these players, coaches, or team owners to respond to me on Twitter. I'm looking at you, Third Impact.
They're too busy banning their players or fake finding their players.
Yeah.
And hardcore baiting Dr. Witz. Dr. Witz, I'm calling you out, bro. You got hard baited so much.
As soon as I saw that tweet and I saw the video of him actually crouching and salting the kid, I was like, this is so fake. I just threw it up and didn't comment. I walked away and started making dinner, and I come back and Discord had blown up and Death Blow's like,
this is the dumbest ban you've ever seen. Like, teams don't let player, like, y'all need, like, self-fulfilling prophecy back up a little bit. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, Third Impact crushed it with that tweet. Well done, gentlemen. Now come on the show and talk to us.
We should talk about what happened here and that we had some of our favorite Overwatch pros, semi-pros, former streamers, and washed-up celebrities.
So this is the official Valorant portion of the show.
Yep, we're moving on. Congratulations. But it is still... So Carter, who just retired officially from Overwatch, I should mention. So I'm pretty sure we just forgot to put that in the show notes. Just mentioned that he retired, and him, Boostio, still, I think, playing on Karasuno.
Yep. I do believe he has not announced that he is leaving.
Correct. Still on the roster, joined in December. You had the one and only Kefri playing, which was sure a sight to behold. Mr. Jet is better than Cypher. Ha ha ha. Who else was that? You had Emong and then Carter.
Yep.
Oh, and Gale Adelaide.
Yeah, Gale. Yeah. Gale was popping there for a little bit.
They did okay. They did pretty good. It took Emong to kind of like whip everyone into shape to play like actual players and not just cheese around the whole time. And like,
I think what happened there is the Team Heroes, which was the Overwatch team, their first matchup was against Team Rift, which is League of Legends.
League of Legends pros.
And they literally went in and just like clowned. Like, you could tell it wasn't real serious. Like, the comp was weird. They were just kind of having fun. And they dumpstered. The 13-1, I believe, was the scoreline. And then they go in and go up against the CSGO team, which was Team Mirage. And they just get slaughtered. Like, it was
painful. I didn't even want to watch from... I needed to go. Like, okay, I'm watching Skidoo's perspective. I do not want to watch what it is like to hear these players just get mentally boomed by people who actually know how to play the game because they've played a similar game for like 10 years. And like, the other thing to note is this Overwatch team is exclusively players who have never been even remotely considered tier one. Emong is the closest because he was on Selfless when Selfless was a top team in NA, but even still, like, it's not.
And then like,
quite the same. And then meanwhile, you've got Skadoodle, who had won a major. You have Hiko, who I believe has won a major.
Yep.
You have Nothing, who incredibly he's been around for like the longest time, and like, you just have so many, like,
and this is their
incredibly
wheelhouse.
Talented people. Yes.
While it's a different game, this fits into very much their play style. There was a moment, it was so depressing to watch, on because they were playing on Bind. I know for our listeners that have never watched or listened to anything Valorant,
it's
like
Temple of Anubis.
This?
Just trust us. It's like Temple of Anubis,
it's like
but
Temple
more
of
fun
Anubis.
To play.
Way more fun to play. on Bind, B-Long, there's an op pick, and at that moment, literally all of Team Heroes, they just start running around and like not walking. Running across sight lines, and it's just they just start getting picked one after another, and it's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you just got slaughtered. But then they came back and they went down like 3-10 against the Rainbow Six team and then turned
and
it around.
And then what had happened was
straight.
Emong started yelling, basically. He's like, listen to
Your
me,
boy
and then
got
even
mad.
After. Even after they won, he's like, you guys need to listen to me, because when you listen to me, we win. And he, like, straight said that. I'm like, dude, I respect Emong so hard, because this guy is, like, trying to carry a bunch of, like, toxic, washed-up Overwatch League former players or not even Overwatch League, like Open Division and Contenders Pacific former players.
And the thing is I think he came from like a CS:GO background or or something, right?
Yeah. He played with a bunch of players. He knows how this works.
But definitely, like once they started playing good, like they look like a solid team, but you can clearly tell that they don't have this energy. I read in one of the chats, because I was flipping from stream to stream, they had no official in-game leader. And this is a game where you cannot...
Yeah.
Like, you have to have somebody who calls a shot, and then your whole team does that. Because if you don't...
Caffrey tried to do it, and it was a disaster, because Caffrey has no idea how to play the game.
Yeah, Caffrey's Caffrey.
And then Emong, once he started, like... literally demanding the team to listen to him, then they started playing well. And so, like, it's a very, very different game compared to Overwatch. And so it does not surprise me that they didn't do great. They are definitely in the better group, probably. I think they would not make it out of Group B if they were in Group B.
Because they would go up against the devs and the Apex team. I really wouldn't worry too much about the PUBG or the Fortnite team. And while I would love to see the Overwatch team go up against the Fortnite team, because I think the Overwatch team would dumpster the Fortnite team, but we won't get to see that because they're in different groups.
Yeah. But anywho, that's the Valor report. We did buy ourselves an extra 10 minutes. So yes, you know what?
You know what? We might just actually put a Valorant section in the show. At the end.
On slower weeks, man.
On slower weeks.
Tack something onto the back and like,
just, yeah.
Here's what's doing Valorant. Just like slowly starting to indoctrinate all of our listeners to.
We'll go from 10% Valorant to 15 to 30. And then it's an even 50-50 split. And that's how we'll do the show. But Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at KyleTheWinner. I'm not tweeting that much. I'm literally just retweeting. Retweeting the show at this point. And a couple of the things. Yeah, I'm not doing too much. Nothing really huge in the works just yet. But yeah, Kyle the Winner on Twitter. Come hang out in the Discord as well.
Mm-hmm. Still popping in there.
Got a Valorant section too.
Yep.
No. but we also have been chatting some stuff. Like this, the tournament made a lot of interesting things happen recently. You've got some interesting rosters coming up and stuff. Yeah. You've got GC Busan Wave announced their official roster of players who I've never heard of before at all. So that's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's so difficult trying to keep up with all the regions. I wish I could, but I still have to work, and that sucks. But you can find me over on Twitter at Thorn Rain. You can find the show over on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. But if you are an audio listener, swing by the Twitch, make one of those free accounts, hit that follow button. We'll give you a shout out on the show. If you want to help out monetarily, you can sub to the show, and you might be able to do it free if you have Amazon Prime that gives you Twitch Prime, and, you'll get our nifty little Blackwatch Report emblem emote. But if you want to help out completely free, head over to iTunes or your podcatcher of choice and leave us a review. Send us a screenshot of that. We'll read it live on the show. One star, five star. We read them all. We love your guys' feedback. But you can find the show, like I said, over on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. There's no O in that report. Email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com, and follow the show right here on Twitch at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, and our intro music is an original piece by our own Mr. Kyle Wynn. It's been a High Noon production. You can head over to highnoonpodcast.com and find all of our shows and join the Discord that Kyle was just talking about over at discord.me/highnoonpodcast to chat with all of the hosts. And with that, Blackwatch out.